Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
A few of you here before the service, but my name is Austin Foote, and I am just so excited to be here with you all. I have to take this time definitely to honor you, Pastor Madison and Pastor Spencer. You guys have been a big brother and big sister to me and have been so supportive over the, just as long as you've known me, and I can't thank you enough, and thank you so much for this opportunity. And Spencer, if you ever listen back to this or watch this, I love you, and I'm very grateful for you, sir. And I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. It is a huge honor to be able to come together with other believers and to worship the Lord together. I just want to give another shout out to the worship team. That was just such a wonderful time of worship. Really sweet. The presence of the Lord was here today, and that was a wonderful time. I do want to recognize my beautiful wife, Hannah, is here with me, and my our son, Justice. He's in child care right now, but he made it out here with us as well, and so we are all just excited to be with you here tonight. It is my honor and my privilege. I'll just kind of share a few things about me. We are from the Well Scottsboro. We're on staff there. We help Hannah. So Hannah's dad, obviously, is Pastor Greg, and so we help him with his day-to-day ministry and his travel ministry. So we help as his personal assistants, as well as help lead the school of ministry there. And so that's a huge honor, as well as something recently that we just picked up doing was taking over a church calendar and coordinating events and scheduling services and things like that. So we get to do some pretty cool things there in Scottsboro. And so if you ever come to visit us for a worship night or something like that, we'd love to see you and get to talk and spend some time with you there in Scottsboro. But we're just terribly honored to be able to do what God has called us to do. And I'm sitting in worship, and I can't thank God enough just for where he's brought me to. I don't know if anybody has that testimony. We all do to some degree. We wouldn't be here tonight. I was just thinking about that. We wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for him. We have that common union together of being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and calling upon him. And so I just want to, hopefully this message tonight is an encouragement. Hopefully this is going to help build your faith. Hopefully this is going to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm just stoked. I know Pastor Madison was talking about a 5-year anniversary. That is something to celebrate. God has been faithful. And what y'all have done here is just absolutely incredible. This place has been transformed, and God's hand is all over it. And so I just want to give a special thanks to, obviously, Pastor Spencer and Madison, but everybody that has put in labor and worked and served. And most of you work full-time jobs, and so you make your way out here. And so I just want to, hats off to you for doing that, for being so faithful to continue to follow the Lord. And we're all figuring it out together. I do want to point out Father's Day is coming up Sunday. I just want to shout out to the dads in the room. I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you do. It does matter. And becoming a father, it definitely changes the way I see things. And so your relationship to your children is so very important. We can see that in today's world where the morality is just beginning to crumble because there's a missing link in a lot of families. We see the father missing or not present or not doing what maybe God's called him to do. And so you see it, just the family just deteriorate from there. So I do want to encourage you, fathers, thank you, and keep doing what you're doing, and train up your children in the way they should go, and they, when they grow old, they won't depart from it. I also want to shout out mothers, too. I can't forget mothers. I over the past couple nights, Hannah had a recital going on, dance recital, and then VBS over at our church. And so I got to spend a lot of time with Justice. I was watching him. And so I have a new appreciation for mothers. I don't know how you do it 24/7, but I appreciate you. And you guys are superheroes. You're amazing. Seriously. Without further ado, I'll jump into tonight's message. I am incredibly excited for what God has to share tonight. I do want to ask everyone to really lean into the Word, lean into what God has to say, because I believe it can help to improve your relationship with the Lord, and that's what's most important. What comes after that will take care of itself, and we'll learn about that tonight. But I just want to encourage you, really lean in. You know, maybe my style of ministering is not is not what you're used to or what you're comfortable with, but don't worry so much about the vessel or the messenger, but really lean into the Word and to His presence here tonight. And so without further ado, I want to pray, and then we'll jump into the Word. So dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before You tonight, and we are just so grateful to be in Your house. Lord, I thank You for each and every single person here, Lord, and under the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray, God, that You would open up their ears to hear You tonight, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that You would release Your Word tonight, God, that it would be planted as a seed, God, that it would find good soil, and that it would bear up and bear much fruit, Lord. And I do pray, God, that You would help us to connect with You tonight. Help us to really hear the Word within the Word, Lord God. May we lean into Your Spirit tonight as You teach us and as You train us and as You equip us and prepare us, Lord God. We commit this time to You, and we thank You, Lord, and it's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to start out tonight. I want to talk to you about fruitful fellowship. It's fruitful fellowship, and specifically the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so if you were here Sunday, Pastor Cody brought a word. It was Pentecost Sunday. I heard he did a phenomenal job. I trust that he did. It was Pentecost Sunday, and that was where the disciples are first introduced to the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised that He would come. He told them to wait, and I won't go too deep into that because I know Pastor Cody probably covered that very well, but I want to focus in on that fellowship with Him and the importance of it. And so the fruit that is produced through that fellowship and that connection and that relationship that we have with Holy Spirit. So we see the fruit of their fellowship with the Holy Spirit immediately, okay? So immediately, things like power, fire, tongues, boldness to preach, salvation, healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. This is all fruit of their interaction, their outpouring, this connection and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We see it very, very quickly. How about the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. How many of us can use some more of that in our lives? Definitely, for sure. I know I do. The thing is, this does not come naturally to us. The fruit of the Spirit does not just naturally come from us. Even the sweetest of people, if you ask them, they didn't wake up that way. There's something that they're pressing into, and it's the Holy Spirit. They're pressing into the Lord to be able to produce that kind of fruit in their lives. So we don't naturally produce this fruit. Without fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it just won't happen. And so tonight, that's what we want to focus on, is the fellowship with the Holy Spirit and how we can lean into Him, spend time with Him, and really get to know Him more so that fruit gets produced through our lives. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. We cannot do it alone. You can't just decide it within yourself, hey, this is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to start producing fruit. I'm just going to be fruitful, and this is going to be good. I'm just going to be a good person. It just doesn't work that way. We need the Holy Spirit. And matter of fact, one of His names is Helper. And so we all need help, whether you think that or not. We need help. And so just a quick personal testimony. You see the disciples before, right? If you just think about the disciples before, I mean, Peter just betrayed Jesus. I mean, things are falling apart. And then what, all of a sudden they have this encounter where the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them. And they go from being betrayers to preaching the most powerful message, gospel presentation, seeing 3,000 souls being added to the church. A personal testimony, God, I remember what I used to be like before I encountered the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this. I had given my life to Jesus. I won't go into my full testimony, but I had given my life to Jesus. But there was a point between giving my life to Jesus and things really shifting in my life that I was still struggling with some things. There was still some sin in my life that I was dealing with and that I was still having to work through. But I just couldn't overcome it. I could not seem to be able to put it behind me. Yeah. But then there came a moment when I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that point forward, have I been perfect? No, that's not what I'm saying. But from that point forward,
the Holy Spirit has given me the power to do things that I could not do in and of my own strength, right? And so he connects us with the grace of God. And so that's just something that is evident. You see that when you first encounter the Holy Spirit, and your life just will never be the same again. So that's what happened to the disciples. That's what happened to me. I'm sure it's happened with you as well. Good thing is he didn't just pop in for a moment and leave. He didn't just come in, pour out, and say, hey, look, you guys got it from here. The intention of the Holy Spirit being sent was not only for the outpouring, but it was for this everyday relationship. Okay, so we hear the Pentecost, we hear the power, we hear the fire, we hear the tongues, all of this wonderful things that the Holy Spirit provides to us. But it's important to note that that wasn't his end goal there, just the outpouring. He wants to walk with us day in and day out. That intimate fellowship that we can have with the Holy Spirit is what I really want to focus on tonight and what is really important to him. He remained and is still here today. Praise the Lord. If we ever want to see this kind of fruit in our lives, it is important for us to know how to fellowship with him. And that is what we're going to talk about tonight. So this is one of those messages that Paul would have said, you know, for me, it is not tedious to write these same things to you, but for you, it is safe. It's beneficial. It's needful. And so this is one of those messages you've probably heard before, but everybody needs that little bit of encouragement. And I hope that this is practical. I don't want it to be so far just that you can't grasp it and that you can't walk it out when you leave here today. That is my goal. I want to see the fruit being produced in your life. And so hopefully we will see that tonight. Now, you may have noticed me referring to the Holy Spirit as him or he. One of the most important things about the Holy Spirit that we need to realize is that he is a person. We cannot treat him as though he's some abstract thing that we have no idea or don't know. Okay? He is a person. He's not an it. He's the very Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, they're three in one. And so we have to treat him like he's a person. We can't just act like he's, like I said, just some abstract thing. In order for us to have a relationship, we have to recognize and acknowledge that he's a person. It's like me, if you didn't acknowledge him as a person, it'd be like me trying to tell you to have a relationship with that pole. And that would be pretty dry and awkward and just weird. But we're talking about a person here. So when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit tonight, I'm talking about a person, one that you can have intimate fellowship with, relationship with, you can talk to on a day-to-day basis. We're going to learn more about how important that is in just a moment. But we acknowledge him as a person and not just some abstract thing. The cool thing about the Holy Spirit is he is actually the one we fellowship with now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay, so Jesus, after he was crucified, he was buried, he was resurrected, then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. Okay, Jesus is no longer walking the earth anymore, but his Spirit is. And so Holy Spirit is actually the one we're fellowshipping with. Now, don't get caught up in the weeds here. I'm not saying you can't pray to the Father, can't pray to the Son. We do that. They're all in one, right? It's still the same God, one God. But he is the Spirit that we connect with God through. He is God in the Spirit. So, we must acknowledge him as a person. I'm reading the same thing again. Excuse me. He is actually the one we fellowship with now. So listen to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 7. I have given the tech team a long list of scriptures. And so I've asked if, for your sakes, if they'll just let them linger up there for a while so that for my note takers, you'll be able to get these scriptures down and go back and find them later. And if anyone would like to have my notes from tonight, you're more than welcome to. I will be happy to send those to you. But in John 16, verse 7, Jesus says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." That's so interesting to me that Jesus would say, hey, it's actually going to be better for you that I go away. I mean, imagine being the disciples in their shoes right there. They're hearing Jesus, who's they've been walking with for 3.5 years, and he says, it's actually going to be better for me if I go away. Jesus, how does that make any sense? because that's all they've known is walking with him in fellowship with him in the flesh. But he's getting ready to leave, and he says, if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. And so how much more? Jesus said, greater things you'll do because I go to the Father, which is just incredible to me. The Holy Spirit, the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is Jesus, he was man. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And so he could not be in multiple, he literally could not be in multiple places at one time. So if Jesus was still walking around in the flesh, he would have to spend some time with you, and then he'd have to come over to my house, and then he'd have to go over. That wouldn't work. So it's to our advantage that Jesus actually went away so that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, can come, and so we can have a relationship with you. So now, at the same time, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit and fellowshipping with Him. You can, and you can. We all can. So that's good news, and Jesus is encouraging us in that. So I do just want to say this, that if it wasn't for, you can't get past this either, and I do just want to give Jesus a shout out, because if it wasn't for Jesus and what he went through and bearing the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ spilling out, we would not be able to have fellowship or communion with the Holy Spirit. And so as you grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God, you begin to become a little bit more appreciative of the things that it took to get to that place. Jesus literally gave up his life for us to be able to have this relationship that I'm talking about tonight. Literally gave up his life, literally shed his blood, literally laid down his glory to come and be a man, be born of a virgin here, and to give it all. I mean, he was tempted at all points, yet without sin. We have a Savior that knows what we struggle with and what through, because he had to walk through the very same things. And so it just how much you value something by what it took to get that particular thing. I'm not saying that exactly eloquently, but there's something to be said about our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so we have to really hone in on that and focus in, because it was very important to Jesus. He was willing to die for it, and he said it's good that he goes. Just a couple chapters back in John 14, in verses 15 through 18, Jesus says this: if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit, this is a key point. I want you to make sure you write this down if you're taking notes. The Holy Spirit is to us who Jesus was to the disciples. Now, hopefully this changes our perspective a little bit when we go to spend time with him or meet with him. We should interact in fellowship with the Holy Spirit just like we would with Jesus if he was still here in the flesh today. Okay? If you ever wanted to know what it felt like to be a disciple and walk with Jesus, I know Pastor Spencer got to walk in the Holy Land. I can't imagine what that must be like, and to be in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. God bless him. Yeah, God bless him. So, but if you ever wonder what it was like to walk with Jesus, to be one of the disciples, the cool thing is we still have that opportunity today in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what it means to walk in the Spirit. And so I won't go into that today, but that's exactly what that is. If Jesus said it was better that he goes away so that the Holy Spirit will come, then there must be something pretty important about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And tonight I'm going to give you 5 key points to hopefully help you more have a more fruitful fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I did it. I did an acrostic. I just did it. Okay? And so it worked, it fit, and we're doing it. So just bear with me. It's 5 points. It's going to be simple. It is going to spell out a word, and you guys that are bright and taking notes, you're going to figure it out pretty quickly, but that's not the point. We're just going to focus on the fellowship, and we will get through these together, and so we'll see. I've got plenty of notes, but who knows? We may get out of here early tonight. All right, so number one is first. If you're taking notes, number one is first. So first things first, spend time with God in prayer and in his word every day. I have to share this. For some it may go without saying, but I think you'd be surprised with how many people, and to be honest with you, we've all done this before. We've all woken up late, or we've all done this or been in a rush, and we just didn't take that intentional time. So I'm not pointing anybody out. We've all been there before, but you'd be surprised how many people that are Christians that don't take time to spend with God each and every single day. And so though it may seem elementary, it is the key. I mean, it is the heartbeat, honestly, of this message tonight. Maybe a more eloquent speaker would have saved his best point for last. But I'm going to give it to you first because it is the most important thing, is to make sure that you're spending intentional time with God in prayer and in His Word every day. It says, Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added to you." We must keep the main thing. The main thing, our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, must be our number one priority. If he isn't, then everything is going to begin to fall apart. And we've all been there. I've been there, of not putting Him first. Even if you are spending time, maybe you're reading your Bible, you know, maybe you're checking off your box, but you're really not fellowshipping with God. You're not really, He's not first. Okay, I've gone through a lot of life before, or times in my life where, you know, I'm waking up, I got my Bible app, I've got my Bible reading plan, I'm doing good, I check my box off, but the rest of the day I just forget about God. You know, I say I forget about God, I just don't acknowledge Him. I don't seek His counsel. I don't fellowship with Him whatsoever. And so, again, my hope for tonight is that we begin to, hey, look, let's just take a sober judgment, a self-assessment, like, hey, look, where am I stacking up against this, or where am I measuring up against this? Here are these 5 points. And so I can't stress it enough that it is so important. And I'll just take a little bit of time here. If it helps practically, you know, it doesn't have to be some elaborate time. You don't have to have just everything perfect, but it needs to be intentional. You need to have a place that you go and meet with God. Maybe it's on your, maybe it's in your favorite chair, or maybe it's outside. Maybe it doesn't matter what it looks like or where it is. The main thing is that you're being intentional and you're spending time with God. You're focused on Him. And I would encourage you to start your day off this way, because how many times have you not spent time with God in the morning, and your day just seems to progressively get worse? It's like your tank is just running empty and it's not even lunchtime yet. And I don't even, you know, it's like, hey, look, put Him first. It's like tithing. You put Him first and the rest is covered. You don't have to worry about that. Put Him first in your day. I'm taking a little bit more time on this verse because it is so very important. And I'll just keep saying it over and over, because I think far too many people miss this. They'll jump right over this step, and again, you just go through the motions. You check your box, and that's just it. But we don't want to. I mean, you guys are coming here on a Wednesday night. You guys are hungry. I'm believing that that you want to go deeper and further in your relationship. You can always go deeper. You can always go further. It doesn't matter how many years you've been walking with the Lord, or how few. You can always still go that much deeper. And so it starts with your time in the morning with Him. There's things in your day that you need help, you need preparation, you need God to speak to you, you need a word to stand on for that day, you need that encouragement, because I know, especially, you know, getting married, having a child, we thought when we were in high school that our life was so tough and hard. You know, it doesn't get any easier. Matter of fact, this is the easiest time in my life that there ever will be, and it's the easiest time in your life that will ever will be. You're only going to take on more responsibilities and more things and things like that. So, you know, we need help. We can't do this alone. We have to have this fellowship, this communion with God, and it is important to make Him our priority. He has to be first. All right, I spent too much time. No, not enough time. All right, number two, repentance, okay? Repentance, a lifestyle of repentance. We must live a lifestyle of repentance. You know why? Because we're going to make mistakes. This thing is not easy. Walking with Jesus is not easy. He never promised that it would be. And so it's important that we live a lifestyle of repentance. We want to make sure that we're continually staying very much aware of our human nature and not leaning upon that, not playing that card, trusting in God to the grace of God, trusting in the grace of God to for you to be able to do things that you weren't able to do, but there's going to be those days. There's going to be those moments. And so we've all been there. I say this as an encouragement, just that when you are there, if you are there, if you find yourself there, be quick to repent. Yeah. Don't sit and sulk in your sin or you know, you say something that maybe you shouldn't have. Don't wait around and not apologize for it. Go and ask forgiveness and seek God again and just make sure that you're quick to repent there. It's important for us to know that we can actually grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's two scriptures, one in Ephesians 4:30 and the other in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So again, Holy Spirit is a person. Just like you can grieve and I can grieve, Holy Spirit can grieve as well. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And do not quench the Spirit. These are two things that we want to make sure that we're not doing. So as we're living life, mistakes happen. We grieve Him. We want to make sure that we're apologizing. You know, if I offended you, I'm not just going to assume that you're going to forgive me. I'm going to make sure that I go out of my way and make sure that I'm apologizing to you. There's been time in prayer that, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. I've grieved you. I've upset you. And you can sense that. The closer you get with God and the more you spend time with Him, you're going to be able to sense these things. Just as spending more time with Hannah since we've been in relationship and been married, I can sense when she's not happy or when she's not something's wrong or something's off. Just the little tone of her voice or the way that she does something, I can tell because we've spent time together. We've been in relationship together for a long time. And that's how it'll be with the Holy Spirit. Hopefully those are few and far between, but it can happen. And so it's important that we repent very quickly. So just like we wouldn't want to hurt, upset, or disappoint a parent or a close friend, just to make it personal, it should be the same way with the Holy Spirit. So I know for a fact I don't like to disappoint Pastor Greg. That is just one thing I do not like to do. But it's the truth. It same goes for the Holy Spirit. I need to have that mentality towards Him, and because I don't want to do anything that would grieve Him or that would upset Him or that would cause Him to draw away. There's times where you can be living in. I mean, it doesn't take much, to be honest with you. If you're not walking with the Lord and maybe you're doing something off or maybe you're not acknowledging Him, tell me how well you think this would go over if Hannah and I are married and I just do not acknowledge her existence whatsoever. How loved do you think she would feel? How much do you think that she would want to talk with me? You know what I mean? So if I'm going to ignore her and not acknowledge her presence, after a while, she's probably going to get pretty tired of being ignored and just go off and do her own thing, I would think. Now, she's a godly woman, and she's going to pray for me, and I'm going to get saved. But, no, you understand what I'm saying. You know, if someone that you're friends with, you're going to ignore them, you're not going to acknowledge their presence, they're probably going to draw back from you as well. So it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. And so as you're drawing in, you're praying, you're seeking the Lord, make sure that you're acknowledging Him and that you're being careful. What something that they used to say is, we don't want to do anything that would cause the dove to fly. So if you can get that picture in your head, you don't want to cause the dove to fly. You don't want to do anything that might cause him to fly. So that's a very important point, is repentance and living that lifestyle of repentance. Number three, we're making pretty good time here. So number three is unity. Unity. And I'm pretty excited about this here. I want to share a few cool things with you. Unity of the Spirit and communing with Him throughout the day. This is where it gets even harder, if I can be honest with you. You know, it's one thing, again, I was talking about it earlier. It's one thing to wake up, get your coffee in hand, you know, you got your favorite chair, you got your Bible app, you got your favorite Bible or whatever, and you got your highlighters out, whatever. It's easy to go and wake up. I say easy. It's easier to wake up and do that and read your Bible and spend time with God. But it gets progressively harder the further in the day that you go. Okay, so hats off to you guys for coming here at 6:30 at night to worship and hear the Word. So, after a long day's work, but it gets progressively harder. And so it's important that we keep the unity of the Spirit. The verse there, it says, in Ephesians 4:3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's not easy. It's certainly easier said than done. It's something that requires practice. You literally have to practice. You have to exercise this. Just like you would do anything else that you want to get good at or you want to become an expert in, you literally have to practice it. And something good I want to just encourage us with to help you practice this it's called statio, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Didn't know you'd be learning some Latin tonight. It is a Latin word for station or position, but it refers to it's a practice of prayer. Okay, so just hear me out here. It refers to a monastic practice of pausing, usually for a few moments, to be present and mindful before transitioning to the next activity. So what this is, what statio is, or statio is the moment between the moments. Okay, so when I'm getting ready in the morning and I hop in the car to go to work, that's a moment between the moments. And so that's a moment that we can turn our attention and our focus back to God. Because it's so easy to just go about your day and just keep rolling through and totally, you know, it's past lunchtime now and you haven't even acknowledged God. And don't feel bad about that, because we've all been there, we've all done that, but we've got to put this into practice. We've got to do things like statio. We've got to be, practice our Latin here. But hopefully you'll remember that, because it's a way to be able to say, oh, wait, you know, before I go to this next task, let me take a moment and let me set my affections back on God. And all it is just inviting him back into your day. You know what I mean? Because he's there. Don't get me wrong. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But it's important for us to stay connected. Jesus talks about abiding in the vine, remaining in him, dwelling in him. And so it's important for us throughout our day to be able to make these points of contact. Okay? So that we don't get further and further away. So statio, it's a way to intentionally create a holy pause and be aware of God's presence in the everyday. That is the life that I want to live. That's where, you know, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Dave Ramsey, but he's got these baby steps. So whatever baby step this would be, I'm on this step. Because, this is a everyday, you're growing in this, and you're wanting to get more effective at just being more mindful of God, walking in the Spirit, and just setting your affections back on him, just putting your attention back on him. It's important. So can y'all remember that word, statio? It's S-T-A-T-I-O. Latin. You guys are Latin scholars now. Y'all remember that one. It's a good one. All right, number 4. Yeah, had to make sure. Is image. Image. It's important to know that we are all made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. So we have to know who we are in him. So we need to know our identity in Christ. But how does this have anything to do with our fellowship with the Holy Spirit? If you don't believe that you should have this kind of access to be able to spend time with God just right there in your own bedroom, if you don't feel like you're worthy to be able to approach God that way, it's going to make it really hard for you to make that connection with him. So it's important for you to realize that you are accepted. He has chosen you. He wants you. And you are created and made in the image of God. And so it's important that we know our identity in Christ. It says this, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so it's important for us to know our position in Christ, to know that you have full access to the Father at any point in time through the Holy Spirit, right? Because of what Jesus did and what he paid for, you have that kind of access. So don't allow your past or the sin of that day or any kind of shame that you may be living in to separate you, or to think that God doesn't want to spend that time with you, because the Holy Spirit has been longing for a closer, more intimate relationship with you. No matter how close that you may be with him right now, he is longing for an even closer and more personal relationship with you. And so make sure, it's important for you to know that you are loved, you're chosen, and God wants to spend time with you. He actually wants to spend time with you. All right, so our last word, number 5, is trust. Trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord," one of my favorite scriptures, "trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." I love that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Walk by faith. Another thing, another word for trust is faith. And it's important that we walk by faith each and every single step. We have to realize our dependency upon God. Because a lot of times we get through our day and maybe our mindset is not, "Oh God, I can do this. I don't need you." But again, we get through our day and it's like you look back and you didn't even acknowledge him. You didn't even seek his counsel on a particular thing. So it's important for us to realize our great need and dependence upon God. And so this is what it's saying here when we trust in him and put our faith in him, walking step by step. One of the translations there in Galatians 5 is walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And actually, it takes faith to believe that he's actually here. And so what I mean by that, let me read Hebrews 11, 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So it's actually important that you have the faith to believe that he's right there. Can you imagine if, I mean, I'm having my quiet time. I'm sitting in a room by myself. I have to have some level of faith that says God's in that room with me. Otherwise, I'm just weird and kooky and I'm talking to myself, you know. But that's not true. The truth is he is in that room. And he's just as close as the mention of his name. And it says that if we draw near to him, what, he's going to draw near to us, right? And so when you get into that position, you're alone in your room, you're in a dark place, a quiet place, wherever you are, you have to have that faith that connects with the Word of God and what the truth says, that he's in that room and he wants to spend time with you. Otherwise, I've done it even still. If I don't have the faith to believe that God is actually with me, I can go through a time of prayer and it be really dry and mundane, boring and not good. But prayer is not meant to be boring. It's not meant to be mundane. It's meant to be full of life. It's meant to be an encouragement. It's meant to be this connection with the living God. We have to understand that God is alive. God, if you can believe it, is in this room right now. I felt the presence of the Lord in worship today. So he is here. But I can promise you this, I can be standing right here and feel the presence of the Lord, and you can be sitting over there and feel like, "I don't feel God. God's not here." Well, check your faith. Do you believe God's here? Do you actually believe that he's in you? Do you believe that he came? Where's your belief level? You really got to check yourself here. It says you've got to believe that he is. You have to first believe that he is. And so that's incredibly important to make sure that we're trusting in the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding. We're trusting in him. We're leaning into God and leaning into the Holy Spirit because he's there with us. Again, imagine walking with Jesus. If Jesus was here and you got to go home, he came home with you for dinner tonight, that's the way that you should fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So watch this. If Jesus got in your car tonight and you drove home and you didn't say a word to him the whole time you were driving home, that'd be kind of weird. I mean, even if you and I went on a road trip together and we get in the car and it's 30 minutes, we're in the car together for 30 minutes and we don't say a word to each other, how weird is that? Now, I get it. If I'm taking a nap, that's one thing. But God is he never slumbers nor sleeps. He's awake all the time. So when you get in your car tonight, maybe you have a husband or wife or whatever. He's still in there with y'all too. So acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. He's there. And the more you acknowledge him, the more you open up your eyes to see him, the more you're going to see him. The more you're going to hear him. If you've gone through seasons where you just, "I don't feel like I hear the Lord. I don't know that he's speaking to me right now." Put your attention back on him. Maybe you need to look at your life and see where, "Oh man, I haven't acknowledged him. I haven't trusted him in this area of my life, or I haven't sought the Lord on this particular thing." So it's important that when you, again, we just put it into perspective that if you're getting in your car, you're going to talk. You're going to talk to whoever's in that car. I want you to acknowledge God in that car tonight. I want you to acknowledge God while you're brushing your teeth tonight. Hopefully you're brushing your teeth tonight. So, anyways, I confess, I don't always brush my teeth at night. So, I'm being open. I'm being real. Holy Spirit, here's the thing. I was thinking about this when I was preparing this message. He is there all the time, right? So he's there when you slip up and mess up too, right? We like to think he's not there, but he is. And it's a good thing that he is because he's so close. He's so near. If we're in a moment where, you know, he always provides a way of escape. Remember that. That's what the scripture teaches. He always provides us a way of escape. So if before we get to that moment of sin, if we would just acknowledge him, he's there. And you just turn your attention back to him, you'll be amazed what kind of pit he can pull you out of before you, well, it's from falling into a pit, he'll redirect you. But he's there in the moment, and he can see the good and the bad. And you know what? It's a good thing that he can see the good and the bad. He's there with us through it all. So talk to God in the car. All right. So here's the point. If you're following along, you got your 5 points there. You've got 5 letters, it spells out fruit, okay? So here's the thing. If you focus on the fellowship, the fruit's going to take care of itself. Does that make sense? So that's what we were doing. We were going through that, and we were talking about fellowship, and the fruit took care of itself. And that's what's going to happen in your own life. Don't worry about trying to produce fruit or trying to be a good person or trying to please somebody. You need to focus on spending time with God and being intentional to acknowledge him throughout your day. And the fruit is just going to begin to produce itself. You won't have to worry about this or that. Now, think about this. The fruit that a tree produces is not for the tree, is it? No. That fruit is not for the tree. No, it's for others to enjoy and benefit from. It works the same for the fruit that we produce in our lives through the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He is the one who connects us to the harvest, which I think is so cool. It's a bonus point here. Holy Spirit not only connects us to the harvest of souls, which we saw on the day of Pentecost, but he also connects us to the Father. Okay, so Jesus says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He's the one that connects us to the Father. He connects us to heaven there. So it's so cool. I thought it was so interesting when I was preparing for tonight that we're right smack dab in the middle of Pentecost Sunday and Father's Day. And I saw the connection there that Holy Spirit is the really the glue in the middle. He's the one that connects us to both the harvest and also the Father. So I thought that was a really cool point there as well. So I shouldn't have jumped too quickly, but just to go back on the fruit. Don't focus. It's the fruit is not for you. And so what I mean by that is that hopefully through your fellowship and communion with Holy Spirit and your intimacy with God and getting to know him more, you'll begin to produce this fruit that others can come alongside and they can pick from and you can be a benefit to them. And that's what ministry is. Honestly, that's what just being a believer in Jesus Christ is. That's what being a follower of Christ is. You're going to produce that fruit. We should be like Jesus. So literally, Jesus was so fruitful. His ministry was so fruitful. There was plenty of fruit on his tree for people to be able to pick from and to receive life from. And so that's one of the goals. It's not the main goal. We'll talk about the main goal in just a moment. But to be able to produce fruit so that others could have this benefit and this have life and to be able to administer or minister fruit is just a bonus of what this fellowship produces in our life. And so moving on, getting close to closing things out now. I said I may have you out of here early. We'll see. So I think it's important for me to point this out as well. Something I do want you to be mindful of is that there is a real enemy out there who's going to do everything he can to get you out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so we just talked about starting your day with God and ending your day with God and in the middle, God. So, but here's the thing. We all know too well how difficult that can be. And the truth is because there's an enemy out there that can't stand us having fellowship like that with God because it's disrupting what he's wanting to do here on the earth. You will be put to the test every day, multiple times a day. It's just the truth. It's just how it is. Jesus says this in John 14, verses 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it's important to know that you're going to wake up tomorrow. I trust you're going to wake up tomorrow. And well, you're going to get in your car and you're going to talk to the Holy Spirit then. And you're going to go to bed, you're going to talk to the Holy Spirit. You're going to wake up, you're going to talk to him. But listen, you're going to start off your day with God tomorrow. You're going to get in your word. I trust that you are. You've been wanting to do it for a long time. And you've just been, unfortunately, missing that opportunity. But tomorrow, you're going to make it happen. You're going to set your Bible out tonight. And you're going to make sure that you set an intentional time to be with God tomorrow. Let me just warn you that your day may not just be all perfect rainbows and butterflies and happy days. I would love to promise you that, but Jesus didn't even promise us that, unfortunately. But he said that he would be with us. Take heart. He said, I've overcome the world. And it's important because I was trying to go into this earlier, but then got off on a rabbit trail. But just being married and having a son, our mornings are never the same. It's not the same. So we can't just have a perfectly scheduled morning to this where this happens at this moment, and then we go, and it's perfect, and it's nice, wonderful. And you have your own lives, and I'm sure that's similar in your own way as well. But when I said you're going to be tested, you're going to be tested at every little thing. It may not be huge, big things. It may be little things that is going to try to get you frustrated, get you distracted, get you looking a different way, so that slowly but surely over the course of your day, you started out so good, but over the course of your day, you're starting to veer off again. And that's not no fault of your own. There's just a real enemy out there, and I couldn't share this message with you tonight without giving you the honest truth like Jesus told his disciples. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. You guys know that. It doesn't take long. I've not been walking with the Lord maybe as long as some of you in this room, but I've walked with the Lord long enough to know that this is difficult. It's not easy, and it was not meant to be easy. And so the cool thing is Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit. In those difficult moments, he's there. He's there. If we only practiced the presence of God to where our reaction or our response is prayer and leaning into God, instead of frustration and getting upset and offended. I would love to be able to bat 1,000 there. I don't, obviously. I'm not perfect. But I would love to grow closer to that, to where if something comes up and maybe something doesn't go my way, I'm a very scheduled person, a detailed person. Maybe something doesn't go my way, I'd love to be able to respond like Jesus would respond. And you know what? The only way that we're going to be able to do that is through the help of the Holy Spirit. So he is our helper. And in those moments, it's important for you to immediately, I'm talking immediately, lean into him. You won't be perfect at this every time, but slowly but surely, more and more, you're going to get better and better. And so that your reaction, your response is an immediately to lean into him. But this is where the rubber meets the road, really. And it's easy to talk about it here. This is all great and wonderful. And I feel like, you know, we're on cloud nine right now. But we're going to leave here. And that's where it gets real. And, you know, are we really going to follow through? The truth is, the only way we'll do that is by the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I know we've emphasized God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit tonight. It is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that makes all the difference. So some key takeaways as I'm closing, and then Pastor Madison will come up. So remember this, he's a person and we should treat him like one. Talk to him like you would your closest friend. I don't know how much more I can emphasize that. I want you to get in your head when you leave here, he's literally right there beside me. However you got to do that, there's things like what they call contact points of faith, where you really have to just believe. You go into your secret place, if it's your closet, if it's your bedroom or whatever, you go behind, you shut the door and you say, hey, Holy Spirit, it's just me and you. It's just me and you in here. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you actually want to be with me. You got to start praying these prayers of faith, not just, God, if you'll come. I mean, that is not too much faith there. He can work with it. He can work with it. But things begin to shift and transform when you get in your prayer closet and you begin to thank God that he's in the room. God, thank you so much that you're here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're in me. You're on me. Right now, you want to teach me the word of God. You, whatever it is, but you've got to activate your faith in that way and treat him and talk to him like he's your closest friend, because that's the kind of relationship he wants with you. Next key takeaway is he is to us who Jesus was to the disciples. Please keep that perspective. Please keep that perspective. Walk with him like you would walk with Jesus in the flesh. Be mindful of this. Next, you cannot do this alone. I think we all know that. But it's important that you don't lean upon other things. Don't lean upon your own understanding. We've already talked about that. Don't lean upon, you can't always lean upon your pastors. You can't always lean upon your parents. You can't always lean upon this or upon that, certainly upon any kind of substances or anything like that. You have to learn to lean upon the Holy Spirit. We need him in every moment of our lives, step in step with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was not meant to be a single outpouring. It was meant to be the beginning of an eternity of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so it's not just a moment. It's not just a church service. It's not just a moment where you get hands laid on or you have a great prayer time. It's not just that moment. God wants to do something in your lives to where he is with you, and you need to focus on that fellowship with him. He's not just here in a moment. He's gone. He'll see you next time you come to church. He wants to go home with you. He wants to go to work with you. He wants to go to the grocery store with you. Literally, this is the gospel. This is the gospel that Jesus preached, that it's life transforming. You're not the same person. You don't act the same way. Because, again, we're focusing on our relationship and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Again, focus on the fellowship and the fruit will take care of itself. You know, that's important to note, that if you're spending time with God, you're going to begin to see that fruit of the Spirit come, that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, love. You're going to see all the fruit of the Spirit, and you're going to be like, I'm not even trying like I was before, because of that connection with God. Because you think about a tree, they're not sitting out there going, apples, come on out. You know what I mean? So they're producing fruit because they're a tree connected to a root system. And so we need to connect with God, and you'll begin to see that fruit being produced in your life as well. When you go home tonight, when you wake up tomorrow, and throughout the rest of your days, remember to spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so my final point here, and I do have a scripture I want to read over you and pray for you, but the goal is truly not the fruit. After everything we've said tonight, the goal is not truly the fruit. The goal is fellowship and getting to know God more. That is the ultimate goal, is getting to know God more. That's the true goal. Paul said this. He said, that I may know him. That's in Philippians 3:10. Jesus said this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you could just leave you with something tonight, you didn't hear anything else, it is that first point of putting him first and actually spending time with God and acknowledging him throughout your day and being mindful of him. I can't stress the importance enough, because he's longing for that. He's longing for you to take a step closer to him. He's longing for you to put him first, back first place. Remember when you got saved and you were on fire for God? Put him back first in your life. He's longing for that. And so if I can encourage you, please wake up tomorrow. Go home. I know I keep saying it. I hope it just drills into your mind. Go home, and on your way home, you talk to God. And before you go to bed, talk to God. And when you wake up in the morning, talk to God and have that time. If we could all commit in the morning that I'm going to spend time with God, I believe my assignment tonight is fulfilled. So please, please do that. I want to encourage you in that. And when I close out tonight's message by praying over you what Paul prayed over the Corinthians in his second letter to them, he said this in 2 Corinthians 13:14. He said this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so let me pray with you tonight. Lord God, I just pray right now. Lord, after everything we've heard, God, your word being spoken tonight, God, we ask that you would help us. We need your help, Holy Spirit. We cannot do this alone. We can't even understand the scriptures without your Holy Spirit revealing it to us. And so I ask, God, over every single person here tonight, everyone under the sound of my voice, watching back online, God, I pray, Lord God, that you would open up their eyes to see, God. Open up their hearts to receive what you have for them, God. I pray that every one of us would take a step closer to you, Lord God, that we would seek you first, Father God, that we would draw upon heaven, Lord, that we would connect with your Holy Spirit in ways that we haven't before, acknowledging you as a person, inviting you into our day and into our lives, and seeking your counsel, Lord. I thank you that you're here right now, Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that right now we have an opportunity to activate our faith, that you're alive, you're real, and you want to meet with us, God. I thank you that you're so excited for the time that we're going to spend with you, God, in the coming days, and in the morning, Lord God. We're going to seek you. We're going to wake up and get to know you more, Lord God. And this is eternal life, you said, Jesus, that we might know you, Lord. And so may that be our goal. May that be our emphasis and our priority, Father God, as we pursue you and as we pursue a deeper relationship and a more fruitful fellowship with your Holy Spirit. And we know we can't do this alone, so we lean into you tonight. We ask, Holy Spirit, please help. And I ask over each and every single person, I just pray, God, that you would speak to them, seal this message in their heart. Lord God, may they dwell on it. May they bring it back up, God. May they remember it, Lord, and may they continue in it, Lord God, all the days of their life. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much.